I said that just for Kate. I don't really do that. All right, so first of all, just by way of introduction, this is Darcy Shetler. She and her husband, Pete, have four kids, right? Sydney, Andrew, Jackson, Owen, right?
Very good.
All right, and they're all 2 years apart.
Less than 2 years.
Okay, but freshman, 7th grade, 5th grade, 3rd grade.
Yes.
That's how I keep track of that. All right, and when did you start attending KCC?
I think 5 years ago.
About five years ago? Okay, very good. And what caused you to start attending KCC, do you remember?
Mike and Jill. And we went to church in Grayling, and Sydney would have been about fourth grade at that time, so she was getting older, and we wanted our kids to be able to be in school with other teenagers,
right.
You know, as they got older, so they could have a support system, because both Pete and I had that, and we wanted that for our kids, so... We loved the church over there, but we knew we wanted to be here in this community so our kids could not only have the other students, but also so many teachers in our school system are here in this church, so I know they have
good support system there at school, at home. Awesome. So this is how that worked. You had friends that attend KCC that are in the community that happened to invite you to come to church.
Yes.
That's really funny how that works. We all ought to try that. 2019, we all ought to give that a shout, don't you think? Yeah. Okay. That was preacher sarcasm. Okay. So how many times have you read through the Bible now in a year?
That I can count is three.
Three? Okay.
I tried when my kids were little, but I don't remember much from 2010 to about 2013. Because I had four kids within 5 years. So I did try, but I got overwhelmed a lot. So I know for sure I've done it three.
Okay.
In a year's time.
So when you first decided, okay, I'm gonna tackle this, what was the most overwhelming thing, would you say, about picking it up and saying, I'm going to read through the Bible this year?
In my head, it was time, okay. Taking the time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. How much time do you find, I know this is off script, but how much time do you feel like it takes each day for you to do the Bible reading plan?
Not less than 10, maybe.
I
don't think about 10 minutes.
Yeah. I found it's pretty amazing to me that when you're reading it just to read it through, and I'm not talking about stopping and studying and preparing it for a sermon, but when you're doing your Bible reading plan to read through, I've found that when you're really just reading it, and you find a translation like the NLT or the NIV, that when you're reading it through in that way, it really goes a lot faster than you think it does.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so what's your favorite book?
I struggled on this one because I don't have one book, so I kept going back and forth through my Bible and through my plan to see what I've highlighted, and I kind of fall in love with what Paul's written. Most of the books that Paul has written are the ones that are my go-to for verses.
Okay, good. And why is that, would you say?
Maybe because of his life and what he went through, and, you know, the passion he has because he had lived one way and then, you know, decided to follow Christ, but he just tells us how we should live and how we should be in community with people and just... followed Jesus.
Yeah. And I think it's fascinating reading Paul's letters also that you can identify quickly that they're Paul's letters. Mm-hmm. Like you see common themes, you know, that mm-hmm. a lot of the churches were dealing with too. So do you have a favorite verse?
I do, and it doesn't fall from one there.
That's all right.
But I do. My second favorite verse comes. But my first is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
All right. And why is that your go-to?
In high school, I was part of a singing group, and we sang it as a song, and that was, it was a Christian singing group we traveled with, and that just stuck with me then, and anytime now I get just that overwhelming sense of worry or fear, I just go, trust in him. Mm. You just gotta trust him.
So what I took from that answer is that you used to sing and travel singing, but I've not seen you on stage here yet.
I don't sing. I just was there for the fun.
So you don't want to hum a few bars for us now?
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a great verse. I remember that song. I don't know if it's the same version, but when our kids were growing up, we would sing that same song. But that's an awesome verse.
Yes, the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s.
Christian.
Rock on the 90s, yeah. All right, so what's it meant to you to be in God's Word every day?
It's my mind that I do is my first thing is I try to read at least one or two of my plans before I get out of bed or before I start my day. I don't try to text or go on any, you know, do anything else except for that so that it can start my day, because I find it gives me that peace. It gives me just that something's going to happen in my day. And when I have that starting my day, it helps me make it through the rest of the day.
Yeah. So it's kind of a good jump start for you and to get things going. Mm-hmm. Kind of amazing how, right, when we read God's Word and it pours over us and be it pours over our soul or just gives us something new to focus on, that how it changes the trajectory of our day, right? Just the mood that we have. And you could even, I wouldn't recommend this, but you can test it. You know, how many days have you woken up and been mad about something, and then all day long we're just mad because we're just focused on that thing that went wrong?
Right. Or if the times when I used to not do it right away, I would get to the end of my day and I'd be like, why am I so frustrated? Or, you know, why did everything go wrong? And I was like, oh, I didn't take that 5 minutes just or 2 minutes or just read a verse just to center.
Yeah, very good. Awesome. All right, so what's it done with your relationship with Jesus?
It's really strengthened it. And I find usually that God's prepared me, like I've done a plan or I've read something that a day or two or maybe a month later, I can look back and be like, I read that for a reason because it's prepared me for what I've gone through.
Right. Now, has the from a functionality standpoint, has the YouVersion Bible app, is that what you use for most of your plans, and has that helped, or is there anything, techniques that have helped you stay on course or held you accountable?
I like the YouVersion. That's what I was going to say. You know, like, I like it because it has a variety of plans, and it's daily, and it's like a check mark, and I'm a to-do list person, so I like to see the check.
Right. So for all you type A people out there, the YouVersion Bible app is for you. All right. So last question, really. What would you say to anyone that's thinking about reading the Bible through or hasn't read the Bible through in a year? What would be your encouragement for them?
Don't let it intimidate you. This is the first year I've read through it on my Bible, on my phone. And at first I was reading it in my Bible and going back and forth, but I just find that the functionality is, if I'm sitting in a waiting room, if you don't like to read, you can have it read to you. You know, if you're traveling, you can stream it through your car. Most of us have that. But just don't let it intimidate you. It's just a small amount of time. With the plan, it's a day. When I had my Bible, it's a little intimidating. It's so big, and, you know, it didn't have, like, a day. Right. You know, like, I like, you know, knowing exactly what I need to read, and you can see it. And it's, I think about what we spend our time on. Most of us, you know, if it's just 10 minutes, we can find it. Right. And that's what I learned with myself when I realized if I didn't do social media or if I didn't do text people first, if I took the time to read my Bible, I have 10 minutes.
Yeah. All right, so if you think time is an issue for you, this is Darcy Shetler. She lives on a farm with her husband, and she helps with the books at the farm. She works at the hospital now,
yes.
Full-time.
Yes.
She has 4 kids that are in every sport under the sun, and Pete is her husband. All right? So that was a joke for Pete. So really, time, if Darcy has time 10, 15 minutes a day to say, I'm going to pull out my Bible and read it, that's but more importantly, the things that we gather from being in God's Word, from having it pour over our life, for having it be the focus to help us make it through each and every day, is that not just worth it to make 2019 the best year that we've ever had, just to start with focusing on God's Word every single day? So thank you. Let's give Darcy a hand. Open to lead us in a couple more songs. Father, thank you so much for Darcy, and I thank you for laying it on her heart to want to be in your Word daily, and to just allow you to pour over her and just lead her. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's guidance in that. I thank you for the accountability that she's had. And Father, I pray that she would just continue, and that just being in your Word would just continue to enrich her life. And I know a lot's been going on in the Shetler family this year, and it's in some ways been a very tough year. And so I thank you for giving your Word to us that can help make the blows that they've been able to endure even that much more bearable. And Father, I pray you continue to lead them, provide for them, care for them, and just bless their home as they raise their kids to know and love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mike Peacock. Larry is better known as Deb's husband. Deb plays keyboard up here on stage. And Larry works on our safety and security team. And Mike is Chris's friend, right? That's how maybe you're known. Yeah, you got to use this when you talk, sorry.
I don't always like to say that publicly, but...
Yeah, we don't like to admit we know Chris, but there you go. And so I've asked them to come up because Well, you guys tell the story. So you're in Chris Nolan's life group, okay, right? Yeah. And so how did you come to be in Chris's life group?
I kind of came into it by just knowing Chris outside of the church, actually. And one day he was like, hey, I'm starting my own life group. You want to come? Sure. So.
And Larry, tell us how you came into their life group.
We were in the Severinsons group, and Debbie joined the Bel Air choir, which was on Monday night, so we no longer could go. So Chris said, why don't we start our own group? We can meet on another night, and we did.
All right. So that's not what you said back there. You said back there the Severance has kicked you out.
Well, I didn't want to say that in front of everybody.
Okay. That'll just be our secret, right? So Chris isn't here, so we won't get a big head, all right? So we can talk freely about Chris. So what's it meant to you to be in their life group? I mean, what's life group meant for you and your families?
Thanks, Larry. it's meant a lot. I mean, Chris and I were friends for quite a few years, really, before I knew basically that either one of us were pursuing a walk with the Lord. And it was like, so we were really good friends prior to that. And then it was like one day we just had a discussion and it was like, wow, this is even better. But as far as being in his life group, I enjoyed a lot. The friendships I've made, you know, and just having a closer group that you can share life's ups and downs with. It's huge. So that's mine. Now, Larry.
To me, Chris has meant a lot to me, really, because I am the type of person that, well, like being up here, this is not what I do. I need to be pushed, and I really have never met anybody in my life that can push quite as good as he can.
We'll take that to mean a good thing. So you and Chris were friends with the remote control when he owned his business, right? So Chris and Deb Zolan have been attending here for probably 4 years now. They started right shortly after I did. And they used to own a hobby shop, and it was by Trout Town, right? Kind of in that area?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hobby store. And they did remote control racing and that kind of stuff. And that's where you and Chris got to know each other, right? So when did what point would you say that things changed from we were never talking about Jesus and not really pursuing that relationship to now we are? And how did that change your relationship and your friendship?
I can't remember the actual, like, when it was kind of a slow, like eye-opening experience. It was just like he said some things and I was like, I started talking to him back, and he's like going, okay. And it just kind of built from there. And now it's like he and I talk about it all the time.
Right.
It's like, you know, we get together a lot and share stories back and forth and scriptures. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, he's kind of a debater. And so it's like he's always got his point of view, and it's just good to bounce info back and forth to each other and work it out.
Right. You know?
And that's what happens in our life group a lot, too.
Now, how much would you say are you guys with the Zolans or Chris, your friendship outside of just meeting with your life group once a week?
I'm usually at least another day a week. I'll usually get with them, you know. Comes and goes, depends on what's going on, but,
right,
you know, yeah.
And you live in Kingsley?
Kingsley,
yeah. Okay.
So you got a little bit of a drive.
Yeah. Right. So, how about you, Larry? How often are you getting together with the outside group?
As little as possible. No. I probably see them once a week. Summertime, a little more. We rode motorcycles a little and hung out.
Right. Very good. So what would you say to anyone that's not in a life group?
Get in one.
You got to say it in the microphone.
Get in one.
Yeah. Say it again, but really loud.
Huh?
Say that again, but really loud.
Really loud?
Yeah.
Get in one.
There you go. Yeah. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
All right.
It's it definitely helps, I mean, a lot. More than you would think. You know, because initially, like, and I had a lot of, like, you know, do I want to get into this, you know, and kind of fears, I guess, you know, it's like, you know, what is it going to be like and everything like that. And it's like, just forget all that, go for it, because it's so worth it.
Yeah. So, Larry, what is being at KCC meant to you?
Well, I am getting up there in age. I've been around a long time, and like I think I said back there, in my last church, I was a member for 14 years, and if you called Pastor Brad Powell and asked him, what can you tell me about Larry, he probably wouldn't know who I was, and if he did remember, he'd say, oh yeah, Debbie's husband.
Right. So, reputation follows you.
I mean, and that's, again, to Chris, I mean, he's pushed me to get into the safety team and, you know, just do things that I wouldn't have done. Come here, wash dishes now and then, help out at care. It just...
Right.
Him pushing me.
Right.
I wouldn't have done it on my own.
So, Mike, you got baptized in February, right? So tell us what led to that decision real quick.
Actually, a lot of discussions with Chris, but then it was just kind of a tugging on my heart. It was like, you know, and you don't want to miss that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if... It felt like it was like, this is the step I need to take to progress, you know, and it was like fear of, he's not going to knock forever.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you got to, if this is what you believe and this is, it's something that, you know, I feel you need to do. And it's like, you know, for the longest time I thought, I was baptized as a baby. It was like, well, good to go. But it's way different. You know, this is a conscious decision on my part that this is what I believe, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. The reason I had these guys up here is that I know a little bit more of their story that they're probably not going to reveal to you, but just in knowing them and know where they've come from and why they're here and the things that they're doing, why they're here. But I also know Chris. And Chris, when he started with us, and once Chris decides he's into something, he's all into something. And he has led these guys and led their life group in a way that's really pushed and challenged folks. And I wanted them to come up and just share a little bit about that, because if you're not in a life group, I can't encourage you more to get in one, because just as Jesus was in a discipleship relationship, we need to be in that too. Who do we think that we are, that we're better than Jesus, that we can just be out on our own and think that we're going to grow in Christ without others surrounding us and helping us and challenging us? And that's what these guys have experienced through the Holy Spirit leading Chris and just really having him challenge people. And he's gone over and above. I think he even bought his motorcycle because you like to ride motorcycles, because he just wanted to spend time with Larry. And so he's really done a great job as a leader. He challenges me as a leader to do the same kinds of things. But that's the kind of community that we need to be as a church in order to reach those that are unchurched, but also just to continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus. So thanks, guys. Let's give him a hand. All right, and I'm going to ask Misty Grollo to come up. Misty, where are you? Come on up. That wasn't so bad, was it, Larry? That wasn't so bad, was it? All right, this is Misty Grollo. For those of you that don't know Misty, she was baptized earlier this year in May, right?
Yep.
And it came up on the heels of a very life-changing experience. And I wanted her to share that. When I heard it, when she came to give her life to Christ, I thought, you know, that's a story we need to share. So I've been holding that back for 7 months so that she could share it with us this weekend. So why don't you, can you just tell us the story? Can you do that?
I'm going to try.
All right, do your best.
And so it's kind of hard to start. On May 16th, my husband and I were in a very serious motorcycle accident, and it's kind of weird. I kind of got to back up a little bit to kind of give you the whole story. That day, my husband and I were on our way to marriage counseling. It was our last-ditch effort to try to make our marriage work. I did not want to get on that motorcycle that day, but he was really, really adamant that we go to this. And we were right in front of Family Fair, and a lady pulled out and ran us over. I was thrown 35 feet into the air, and I tell everybody, God served his own marriage counseling that day. I had no idea what condition my husband was in, but I remember as I was thrown from the motorcycle, he was the only thing that I could think about. God, please, don't take us both. Make sure my daughter is okay, and I'm ready. I'm ready. You can take me. I was thrown quite a ways, and I remember he was there that day, and I want to scream it from the mountaintops. He caught me. I just remember thinking, oh, I'm ready, let's do this. You know, just say, you know, be there for my husband and my daughter, but I'm ready. And I remember, it's weird because there was so much going on, but I remember him, just the Lord, kissing me on my cheek and saying, calm down, it's not your time yet. And I really, truly believe it was him saying, slow down, because I'm always go, 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 never really stop and live in the moment. And right. Even that day, I was like, oh, we got to get to this appointment, and I don't got time for this. But then it was something, I really just want everybody to know that if you have an open heart, he will be there for you. And ever since that day, it's been that way for me.
So husband recovered too?
Yeah, he's doing really good. His leg was crushed, so he had to have some plates and screws and stuff, but he's back to work and doing good.
Right. And so you recovered. When I ran into you recently, no pun intended. When we ran across each other's paths recently, you said you had
have a closed head injury.
Okay.
From hitting my head on the windshield of her car and the pavement. So I have a lot of short-term memory loss, and I don't know if I'll ever do the job that I went to school for ever again.
Which was?
I'm a medical insurance biller.
Okay.
So I'm still working, and I'm not stopping fighting because I just won't.
Just ingrained in you.
Yeah.
Has Timberly shared with you the part that she was doing during all this was taking place?
That's the best part about it, is I was alone. My husband was on a lot. I was all by myself on the pavement, but it was so warm. And I remember looking up, and there were so many people alongside the road, just standing there. But Timberly was at the end of her salon. We all know where her salon is at. She was standing there, and it was like there was a beam of light, and all she was doing was praying. And I've known Timberly and her family my entire life. So they were trying to keep me awake because I had hit my head, and they were trying to not let me lose consciousness. And that woman was my focal point. And I was just thinking to myself, please know it's me. Know it's me that you're praying for, because that's what she was doing the entire time. She never looked up. She just stood there and prayed. And I just thought, oh, Timberly, it's me you're praying for. Please come be with me. But if it wasn't for her standing there praying, I don't know where I would be. Hmm. And then that led into the day I was baptized. Another friend of mine who comes here, Rita, she had always been, come to church with me. And I would come, but I was here, but I wasn't feeling what I needed to be feeling. And 3 days after our accident, that Sunday, Rita showed up to my house, and I was a mess through the whole thing. And she goes, there's a certain place you need to be. Come on. And she brought me here that day. And it was just like when I seen Timberly praying alongside the road. I was sitting in the back of the church, and I was just kind of questioning everything, like, why would God put me through this, or why would he do all this to me? And your message that day, I was just, it was like heavens opened up and there was a light beaming down on you, and it was God saying, this is where you need to be today, and I've got this, and that no matter what, as long as you trust in me, I have that. And I wholeheartedly gave my heart and soul to God that day. It was not planned. It wasn't something that I came here with any intentions of doing. I mean, I believe in God, and I have been here before and worshipped, but I didn't think I was ready yet.
Yeah.
But that day, I don't know, it was weird. I was ready.
Yeah. So you get in a car accident, or a motorcycle accident. You're thrown 35 feet. Along the way, you're thinking to yourself, Lord, just take care of my daughter. Let one of us live. I'm ready to go. He obviously sees you through that. Rita continues to, hey, you need to come, and you need to. And then that day, you just fully surrender yourself to him. How's the marriage today?
Good.
Yeah?
Better than it's ever been.
Awesome.
We never did go to marriage counseling, but both my husband and I think that God served his own marriage counseling that day. We both were worried. We were more concerned about each other. Like, I was more concerned about his injuries and how he was, and he was more concerned of my injuries and how I was. That it's funny because the hospital and the EMTs had to separate us. They had to put us on separate floors because we were more worried about each other. They couldn't focus on our individual injuries, and they kept saying, she's fine, but I need to know how you are, or he's fine, but I need to know how you are.
For the record, I don't recommend that in marriage counseling. There's other ways to accomplish it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me, so since you've surrendered your life to Jesus, what's life like now?
You would have to really know me, but before I was a very huge worrier, and I let a lot of things bother me, and I'm not like that. I don't worry because I give it to God, and I tell everybody that. Give it to God, no matter what.
Yeah.
He's listening. You might not like the answer that you're going to get, and believe me, this has not been just a walk in the park and great. I feel defeated a lot of days because of the fight that I have coming ahead, just trying to get my head straight.
Yeah.
But when I feel weak, I just ask him, okay, I know you're with me, so give me some strength.
Yeah. So in one sentence, what in future are you going to look back on 2018? What's going to be the theme of what happened in 2018?
Finding God in my life and being able to stand up here and tell everybody. That's what I'm thankful for. And I have to be reminded of that every day. My family says, I'm just thankful that you're here talking to me right now. And I'm trying very hard to not let the motorcycle accident be what defines me for 2018. Yeah. I want it to be that I found God. Yeah. And I found a special place where when I'm in the darkest of darks, I can go.
Yeah. We're going to remember that about you too. Is that all right? Let's give Misty a hand. Thank you. So at KCC, our vision is to be a Christ-inspired church full of Christ-inspired people. It starts with seeking Scripture. Like Darcy has shared with us today, what it means to her to be in God's Word every day and how it just changes life in general. It's about sharpening and being sharpened. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. In our life groups, and what I've seen through Chris working with Larry and Mike and Buck and others that are in their group, I'm inspired by that because I see that they're living out what Jesus did on earth and just being in community together and sharpening one another. And when I hear Misty's story and I hear the redemption that took place and how God spoke into her life and how he protected her through that, I can't help but take my mind off what Timberly, a member in our body, did. She showed compassion. And she saw what was happening and she got on her knees. She just prayed. She just prayed. And God, in his infinite might and wisdom, rescued a life and rescued a marriage. That's what it means to be Christ-inspired. And that's what my prayer is for 2019 for everyone in our church. Transformation, growth continues to take place as we continue to lean on Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray and then Luke's going to come up and lead us in another song. Father, thank you so much for Misty and for delivering her through what could have absolutely been an accident that ended her life here on earth and her husband's. I thank you for rescuing them for their daughter's sake. I thank you for rescuing them for salvation's sake, that she could totally and completely surrender herself to you. And Lord God, I thank you that she's able to share that and that she wants to share that story with others. And I thank you for Rita reaching out and continually inviting her to church. I thank you for the Ponsteins reaching out to the Shetlers and continuing to invite them to come and to join us to worship you. Father, thank you for Larry, and I thank you for Mike, and I thank you for the growth that they've experienced in being around good friends and just growing in their group and growing and learning what it means to be more like you and to know what your word says. Father, you're an amazing God, and I so look forward to what's going to happen in 2019 around this place because it is clear that you're moving. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.